This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The Yankees, unfortunately, BT, did what they've been doing all year long, and they finally paid for it on the biggest stage in maybe the most embarrassing way possible. We thought they avoided embarrassment by not getting swept. Well, guess what? We were wrong. They got embarrassed last night in Game 5, and the baseball season is now over.
I think you can make a case that might be the most painful 25 minutes in my New York sporting lifetime. Absolutely sickening. I mean, listen, I understand it's the day after the World Series, Yankees are done, and I'm supposed to have a solution. Now, maybe down the road, later in the show, I've got a few for you. Pertaining to last night, I don't know what anybody wants me to tell them. I mean, you're supposed to catch pop-up, buddy. You got to catch that ball. The Volpe play, 7 feet to your right. Don't spike it like a knuckleball in the dirt. And by the way, Jazz, make the play. Help him out. It's a one hop. That's an easy play.
Maybe his chain got in the way.
Yeah, it was actually pretty sweet. I did like the chain. And when he hit the home run, I liked it. But, I mean, come on. I mean, so make the play. And now you'll walk everybody. It was just a complete unmitigated circus. It was really as egregious, as pathetic, as unexpected, even though the Yankees have been, you know, whether it's base running or kicking the ball around. And in large part, that's who they've been. But I'm watching this game unfold, and I'm sitting there saying, there's no way. What is this, like February 27th, and they're playing a split squad game down in Tampa with a bunch of 19-year-old kids who are ticketed to go to rookie ball, who are learning how to play the professional game? This is the World Series. How the hell do you drop a pop-up? It's disgusting what happened last night. There's no way around it, man. And the crazy thing is, they actually took the lead, but Sal, I'm watching this and
5-0. You had to be feeling good.
I'm feeling good.
Packed. Everybody getting set, ready for LA Game 6. Start making a plan Saturday night.
Listen, if you really want to be a jerk, and maybe you're saving this for later in the show, just go and look at some of my tweets there at some point. I want more blood. Blood is trickling.
Yeah, maybe we'll read those. Yeah,
later. We can read them. We'll have some fun. It's fine. I mean, when you have a little fun on social media and your team's flexing, and then just understand they can come back to bite you. And it came back to bite the Yankees and the Yankee fans in the worst conceivable way. I really don't know how to process this because the things that, while they are a flawed team, all right, they have been for a while, really for years at this point, and we'll get to that later and how that could change and maybe end what the solution is. Dude, I mean, this is something from the moment that you are, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, whenever you first start to play baseball and your dad throws or your great grandpa, your uncle, your brother throws that first underhanded flip to you. Hey, Joey, come on, Bobby. Come on, Sal. Catch the ball, Sally.
Which one you think's worse?
I think the pop-up to Aaron Judge is the absolute most unforgivable defensive play in the history of the New York Yankees. And I'll tell you what, we were talking about this, Hoff, and I want to give Hoff credit here. I'm not going to steal this. He said, like, if it was Game 7, you can make the case that that inning was collectively worse than Game 6, collectively worse than Buckner. I mean, that's because the drawn-out nature where so many Yankees had a chance to just make the most basic routine play.
I don't think the Volpe one was as basic. I know
I disagree. I disagree. I'm not trying to cut you off. Yeah. Disagree. You're a Gold Glove shortstop.
Well, they say he's a Gold Glove shortstop. I'm not buying it.
I mean, and they're fine, but the records will state that he was a Gold Glove shortstop last last year. Literally, whatever. We could debate that. I'm not doing that now. Mm-hmm. He won the Gold Glove. The ball is 4 feet to your right. It's a simple play. Now, I understand that there's depth and positioning and runners going to the spot where you try to throw the ball. And we'll hear about it. Make the play, flip it, get a good grip, and he's out by a foot and a half. It's not even particularly close. Easy play. So all the checkpoints the Yankees had to resolve this disaster of an implosion, it comes down to one thing. Actually, two things. Now, they had the physical errors, but the way it was really topped off was a combination. It's tough to do. I'll give them credit. This is hard to. This is almost Jets-like when you think about it. It was a combination of a mental and a physical error. The Rizzo-Cole situation, yeah. I mean, they have been hitting two hoppers back to the mound since February 12th. And for neither man to know what to do or not, even if they know it and not do it, is might be the second most unforgivable defensive meltdown in Yankees history. I love Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge will never, it has to be said, will never, ever, ever be looked at the same. You dropped a pop-up in the World Series that cost your team basically the game.
Yeah, it wasn't just that play, though. I mean, that play was maybe the most unforgivable. And that's why I say the Volpe one, like, that stuff happens. I don't care how good a defensive play you are. And it shouldn't happen in the World Series, and it certainly shouldn't happen in that spot. But that happened. You're going to your right.
I haven't seen that happen this entire year. Yeah, I've watched almost every Yankee and Met game.
Tough.
I mean, I haven't seen Judge do that. I didn't see Grisham drop a pop-up. Yeah. I didn't see Bader do that. I didn't see Taylor. I didn't see one New York center fielder do that the whole year.
No, that I'm not talking about. Okay. I'm talking about the Volpe play.
Gotcha, go ahead.
The Volpe play happens. It's in the hole. He's going over. Kike Hernandez, you know, running the third base. Like, obviously, you got to make the play, especially for a Gold Glover in the World Series. But still, like, that happens. All right, the ball gets stuck in his hand. He makes a bad throw. And Jazz can't pick it out of the dirt. You had twofold right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Judge thing and the Cole/Rizzo thing,
yep.
That can't happen.
No.
That can't happen ever,
no.
Let alone in the World Series. Like, neither of those should ever happen throughout the course of an entire series, let alone an elimination game in the World Series.
I'm sitting there watching this unfold, and I'm actually almost laughing at myself. Like,
you too?
Are they actually...
Yeah. Oh, no, dude.
Are they actually doing this? Is this actually happening? And it's like, it's one thing if they come out and, all right, they beat up on the Dodgers bullpen the previous night. It was a fun night. Volpe was amazing. I was there. I'll never forget the night. It was great. It was great. And then, but being quite the other, like, set of circumstances, they come out last night, Sal, and Gerrit Cole, you know, has a 36 first pitch inning, walks three or four guys, you know, gives up a bloop, gives up a blast, and the Dodgers put up a four spot rather than the Yankees getting to five fast. The Yankees went from one team, literally, that started to look like a team that could mess around and do something that nobody in the... I know Yamamoto would have been tough, but you can't help.
Well, even just get to a game six.
Which nobody would have done in the history of baseball, in the World Series, as we talked about. And obviously, you deal with Rodon and Yamamoto in game six Friday night. But you can't help but sit there and think, it's going to L.A., And now, hey, maybe there is a little destiny. Maybe there is a little magic. Maybe that aura is coming back.
Pressure on the Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, but like to come out and look so amazing and then with instantaneously transform into this team that looked, it was like a combination of being drunk, being high, and being disinterested. And obviously being incredibly fundamentally flawed as they have been for a long time. A lot of times we overreact in this medium. That's the most unforgivable, disgraceful. I'm even going back to the Red Sox game, honestly. Like the game 7 at the stadium with Vasquez and Kevin Brown. The Yankees jumped out and they had the Dodgers by the throat. They had them. They were going to squeeze one more ounce of life out of them. And they said, nah, we're good. And now they got buried, and they deserve to lose.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Pat is on Long Island. What's up, Pat?
Yo, what's up, BT and Sal?
Pat.
That was, when it was, I'm a Mets fan, when it was 5-0, I basically checked out of the game. You know, I was like, all right, this is a wrap. It's going back to L.A. whenever the next game was going to be on Friday.
Mm.
But that was one of the biggest choke jobs I've ever seen in my life. I mean, talk about a meltdown. I think A-Rod said it on the post game too. It was the biggest meltdown he's seen in like 40 years or something. But something that's not going to get
attention.
Attention.
Go ahead.
Tommy Canley coming in the eighth inning. The guy's throwing like 70 straight changeups. The guy walked the first two or gave up a hit. He loaded the bases. But, so now it's time for King Cohen to go.
We'll get to that, Pat. Thanks for the call. Even I don't want to hear from that right
now. Yeah, we'll get to it.
Yet.
We'll have that discussion.
No, we want to hear from Yankee fans. Dave is calling from Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
Dave, what's happening, bud?
Hey, bad morning, BT. How you doing?
I'm good. I mean, listen, it's what it is. The Yankees absolutely choked.
You know, I got to say, 2001 broke my heart, all right? Broke my heart, scarred me for life. However, with the Jets losing to the Patriots 43-3 in 2010, has taken second place as the most terrible game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is the most terrible, awful, disgusting sporting game I've ever seen. Even if you're a Dodgers fan, you say to yourself, how terrible is that other team on the other side?
Yeah, I can promise you Dodgers fans aren't saying that, and nor should they be. But
they say thank you, but then they hold up the World Series trophy and spray the champagne.
BT, can you think of a worse loss for us?
First of all, it's up there, and thanks for the call there, Dave.
Hold on, up there. I just want to ask Dave one more. Dave, Sal here. Did it hurt more because you thought you were going to win up 5-0, or just because it was sloppy in general?
You know what? When you buy the lottery ticket to Mega Millions, you dream for those 20 minutes. And when he's sitting there throwing a no-hitter in the fifth inning, he gave up a hit. Okay, now it's a one-hitter. You're just thinking about, we're going to get on the plane to go. We're going to go to L.A. We're not going to be embarrassed and watch them celebrate at Yankee Stadium. Whatever happens, happens. It's 3-2 now. And they were destined to win that game. And all of those errors, I mean, that stuff just can't happen.
Well, that's what I was asking. Oh, sorry, David. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, buddy.
Is it worse, BT, because of...
Yes.
Like, that inning would be an all-time horrific inning in general. But being up 5-0, feeling like the game was over, right or wrong, it was early on, but the way Cole was dealing, like you had to feel good.
I even thought about a no-hitter for a sec. I'm like, he's got 50 pitches. Yeah. I mean, it looks pretty unhittable. I thought about it.
He looked locked in, and maybe that's the biggest shame of this all. I know the Yankee season ended, but really, we were on the verge of watching an all-time great performance from Gerrit Cole until the defense, and self-inflicted in Cole's case too, until the defense let him down. Now, Dodgers made him pay with some base hits, Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, whatever, but the defense ruined what was looking to be like a tremendous all-time World Series start. But because they had the 5-0 lead, and then you had that, the miscue after miscue, just unacceptable, like, God, that was bad.
Well, that's why I said it's very different than... You know, all right, you win the night before, it was fun, you avoid the sweep, and maybe, you know, you kind of stave off the execution for a bit. But if the Yankees would have come out last night and, you know, Freddie Freeman tattoos a 2-run moonshot right away, you know, you start to process, all right, this, and I think most objective, sensible Yankee fans knew, maybe not as much before the series, but certainly during the series, that the Dodgers are simply much better. And I think you can kind of... You know, start to, in your own mind, prioritize, all right, what do we need to do with this offseason?
Yeah.
Not that it's fun sitting through a shellacking, but it's a different range of emotions because if you come out and you get smacked early, there's no peak. When there's no peak of happiness, there's no fall. And when there's no fall, there's no despondency. And that's, you know, that's what takes you through this all-time crash. I mean, it's an all-time, somebody brought up the lottery before. I mean, honestly, it's like a stock market crash. It's like, wow. I mean, Wall Street was awesome. Whoa, Wall Street just, everybody lost everything. I mean, the high-low nature of last night, if you told me that going into, you could have told me the A's could have lost and Cole was okay and this guy did. There's no way anybody envisioned that. It was an unforgivable mistake by Judge. I'm sorry. You can't drop a pop-up, dude. We can sit here and talk about, you know, oh, he wasn't Reggie or he wasn't A-Rod or Matsui in 09. That's fine. That is baseball stuff. Hitting is hard. And I know he took a peek over at first base, and that's why it hit off his glove. Don't take a peek. Still, don't let it hit off your glove. You could catch that baseball, and I'm not being hyperbolic. You could catch that baseball with your bare hands without leather. It wasn't ripped. I can't believe he dropped the ball.
Which is why it's even, again, he made the error. He made the mistake, but like it's not like it was some egregious thing. I don't even know how you missed that.
Me neither.
So even if you look away for a second, you still should be able to have your glove in the spot where you know that the ball is.
Yeah. I think he just, it was in the right spot. He just closed it too early. Well, even early, remember Edmund caught that ball
right in the palm of his hand.
I mean, major leaguers, he caught it right in the pocket rather than the webbing. I get it, dude. It's a soft liner. You have to catch it.
That was as brutal of an inning as I've ever seen and as bad as a performance. Like you said, the highs and the lows. You know, Judge made the great catch earlier in the game going against the wall. I still can't believe how that one after another in the fifth inning, how that inning unfolded. AJ in Staten Island. What's up, AJ?
Hey, how you going? How's it going, guys?
Hey, AJ. How you doing, pal?
First of all, I swear to God I thought I was watching Space Jam when the aliens stole their talents in the fifth inning.
That's funny.
This is ridiculous what happened over here. And another thing, could the Yankees have gone from a World Series team to a rebuild team in one inning?
Well, AJ, there's a lot with that.
Now,
yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought. Go ahead, real quick. Go ahead, buddy.
Rizzo's gone. We probably lost Soto.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In that inning, I think, do we do with Gleyber?
Yeah.
Verdugo, Jazz, what's going on? Cole could opt out.
We're going to get into it. We're going to get into it. I can promise you the Yankees didn't lose Soto in that inning. They might lose Soto. It's not because of the inning. It's going to be about the money. We'll get to what should be, and I've got a plan for you here, both in the front office, in the dugout, and on the field, there needs to be sweeping changes. But right now, we deal with the emotion of the Yankees losing the World Series in the most unlike Yankee fashion ever.
And the problem is that for the Yankees, all the things that were masked throughout the course of the regular season to a certain extent versus the Royals, versus the Guardians, they showed up in the biggest and worst way possible on the biggest stage at the worst time possible, which to me is not just about one bad inning or one bad game or one bad series. Like if you say, well, where were the Dodgers better? By the way, the Dodgers won without Ohtani and Betts doing anything really in this series.
And Muncy.
So where, oh my God, useless Muncy. Didn't even good at bats. Anyway. So if you say, well, the Dodgers are much better, and I agree, like I thought they were better, but where were they better? Were their stars better?
No.
No. Was their offense that much better than the Yankees? No. Was their pitching that much better? Maybe a little better in the starting rotation. Bullpen wasn't that much better than the Yankees. I forget the exact numbers. I got to look it up. They were actually kind of comparable. Where they were better was the simple playing the game, catching the ball, taking the extra base, putting the bat on the ball and driving in a run, taking advantage of the Yankees' mistake. Like, they were just better at playing baseball, keep churning out the game, play the game, hustle, run down the line, putting pressure on the Yankees, defense, whatever it may be. That's to me where they were better.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It was very obvious from game one and throughout the series, whether it's Betts making, what, three or four sliding nice plays in right field and Soto taking wacky routes to the ball, which allowed the Dodgers to take an extra base. And listen, we rehashed it all. You know, the Torres stuff, and now you're throwing a little catcher's interference. It was just
the balk. I mean, geez.
God, I mean, yeah, that's where you just not checked in.
You was toast. You could see he was just toast.
Yep, three straight games. I get it. And I give him a pass. Like I love Weaver, and he's a big piece of the future here. But when you disengage twice from the rubber, and then you do it again, and you know that you can't, and you can just see, like, as soon as he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, he knew it.
He's like, oh, man, I do think that a lot of these players were mentally fried. But I got news for you. It's not like the Yankees took a different path here than the Dodgers. Like, it's not like the Dodgers got to the World Series in a private jet and the Yankees had to walk 3,000 miles across the country to play baseball. It's the same road. I mean, now it's a different league, but it's the same amount of regular season games. It's a divisional. It's a league championship series. Same off days, whatever. Dodgers were built better, dealt with it better, and the Yankees got so exposed last night. Now, and we'll get to this coming up on some level. I never thought that I would say this. If there's ever a shining light, like a moment of brightness mixed in with this darkness, it was so bad last night. This is going to actually be, if they do it right, a good thing for the Yankees, as crazy as that sounds.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, more of your calls on the other side, get into some of the different angles, why this happened, what needs to change moving forward, Soto free agency, all of that and more. Just getting started on this great Halloween. Happy Thursday, YED. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 1019. I couldn't sleep last night. I was up till 1:30. Usually I don't take these things in, but I was watching all the celebration, all the post-game stuff. I actually legitimately felt bad for Aaron Boone. I know we'll do more on him in a little bit, but Boone was getting emotional. Hey, it sucks. I mean, one thing we talked about the other day, BT, it's been 15 years since the Yankees were in the World Series. It's been over 20 years since the Yankees have lost a World Series. And I don't know if there's a worse feeling in sports. I mean, throw it up there, losing a Super Bowl, whatever, but I do feel like losing the World Series is even worse. Getting to the Super Bowl feels like a great accomplishment. Mm-hmm. To me, getting to the World Series, especially with the Yankees, it's not, you want to win it. And you got all the way there, you get all the way back, and now you taste defeat. A defeat like you haven't tasted in over 20 years.
Yeah, and it's also getting a little too common where teams just show up, clinch on the Yankees turf, and then just move on to the next parade or move on to the next series. So that hurts. And listen, you know, anytime with, you know, Boone or there's sadness, you know, I appreciate the raw emotion. And for us, I mean, it's obviously more than a hobby for you and I. I mean, we've made a living out of doing this. And even if I wasn't on the air and I was in whatever other line of profession, and I think you too, even back to your Home Depot days, we're the kind of people, we're the kind of fans that it's not a hobby. It's a lifestyle. So I'm not trying to minimize the fandom at all. But imagine if you feel the way you feel out there today as a massive, devout Yankee fan. How do you think they feel when this is their life's work?
Boone especially.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys.
Well,
Judge, come on.
Yeah, Judge.
How do you think Judge feels now?
How do you think Juan Soto feels? And I know we'll get to him later, but to give you an example.
I think Juan really wanted to win. I think he's a gamer. Sure. I think he really enjoyed it here. I think it bothers him. I think he's already moving on to money.
Correct.
Whereas Aaron is going to carry this around forever if it's no guarantee he gets another chance, and that's something else we'll hit later, obviously.
Because it's Judge's legacy, not Soto.
It's his team. He was drafted out of Fresno State by the Yankees. He came up as a young pup. He's a Yankee. He is a New York Yankee, and he dropped a pop-up in the World Series that opened the floodgates. How do you think he feels?
Good God, that's brutal. Nick is calling from Greenwich, Connecticut. Nick?
Yeah, BT, Sal, this is what I was trying to expand on yesterday. And Sal, you got upset with me because you said, how do I blame Aaron Boone? I wasn't actually blaming Boone. I'm blaming the culture, okay? I'm blaming the coaches because I watch probably about 120 to 130 games a year. And this was a microcosm of the whole season. So my point was, do you think George Steinbrenner would have stood by and watched this even during the regular season? He would have pointed out to his coaching staff, his manager, listen, there's something wrong here. These are little league players that we're watching on the field. These, like you said, It was basic stuff that had them lose the game. And it was a microcosm of what we watched all season.
And really for
that
the last 3 years.
Happen in the World Series.
Really for the last 3 years, you know, Nick, is why we talked about not liking
yeah,
the...
Yeah, but
I
you
mean,
know
I,
what?
I said
you should
out.
Know your players. But, Sal, you should know your players by then. You know what my speech would have been to Aaron Boone knowing
what
these players?
Nick, hold on, though. That all sounds great. Last night was a little bit different in that. What are you going to do if you're Aaron Boone? What are you going to say to Aaron Judge? Aaron, like, there's no move in the world could make that's going to change what Aaron Judge did.
I'm not saying it would have changed whatever, but listen, I could tell looking at Aaron Boone and watching him all these years, like you said, he's a player manager. He wouldn't point out things like this, I think. He wouldn't go up to a player and say, listen, or make a speech before a game. Hey, guys, listen. We got one win under our belts. Let's do the little things right. Let's make that speech every night to these guys because that's the kind of players he has.
Well,
the other guy on the other side, he doesn't have to make that speech.
Yeah, Nick,
he doesn't have to make that speech.
Gotcha. No, I hear you. And by the way, that speech may have been made, but I think it's deeper than that. I really do. Of course, I think, if not know, that Aaron Boone stresses fundamentals. Now, how he stresses them, that's is effective enough? No, apparently. But I think it's an organizational thing.
Right.
I think the kind of players they draft from the moment they get that first, you know, workout, the workout bag, the workout gear when they're 19 or 20 or out of college, 22, 23, and they start moving up the ranks. There is not an acceptance of this kind of play, but I think that they focus on other things, whether it's elevating the swing to do damage with the short porch. And when you focus on other things, I think you kind of neglect things that are without compromise. Like, you have to have them. Listen, remember when we were younger, I used to love this, seeing this under the Christmas tree. Even my mom, when I was older, she would get this. I know you would get these too. Remember the VHS tapes that would, the season in review?
Yeah,
and not just the Mets one that we referenced in 86.
No. All of them.
Like, I remember when I could still see Wetland on the cover in his 96, his hand up, and O'Neill coming in like a lunatic flying over the pack. If last night, while it would be on DVD or you would just stream it, last night was a perfect, and I mean a perfect, really imperfect, representation of the season in review. You had some amazing moments, and then at the end of the day, you had non-negotiable breakdowns that they pretty much done all year, bad base running throughout the whole series, sloppy defense, and there you go.
Right, but the two biggest mistakes that they made, or maybe not just the two biggest, I mean, I know they made three huge ones, like, what are you supposed to say about the Judge one? We could rip Torres apart for game one.
Mm-hmm.
You could knock Volpe for not making a good throw, Jazz for not making a good pick. Oh, with Judge, like, he's there. The ball's in front of him.
There's nothing to say at that point.
Oh, okay, but then that's the one that opened the floodgates. Now, the Rizzo and Cole thing, and again, like, how do you even explain how that happens in the World Series? It shouldn't, but is that a manager's thing? Like, is that Boone in spring training not getting on these guys enough? No, like, it's Gerrit Cole. I thought John Smoltz had the best explanation for what went on there with Gerrit Cole. First of all, Rizzo, like, it's over.
Rizzo, old Yeller, he cannot be on this team next year.
I agree. It was not
he's
good
shot.
Defense. He's not
Dude,
even
the a- Yankees first baseman, think about Tino and Chambliss' shot in 70. Forget about Donnie. I mean, all these first basemen, he has not hit a home run since June. The Dodgers first baseman hit home runs in four straight games. Rizzo hasn't gone yard since June.
He's not even a threat at the dish.
You got to hang him up.
Now,
he's done.
Now, I give him credit for being a gamer.
Yeah, fantastic. Gamer, great.
Well,
retire.
I mean, playing
go play,
in.
Go, done.
I'd rather have seen Ben Rice or, you know, Birdie was hurt.
Cabrera. It's over. It's over.
He brings nothing. And it's been, by the way, it's not just 1 year. It's part of the reason why I didn't think the Yankees did enough in the offseason. This has been, you could see this coming, and yet they're riding with Rizzo. So you want to get on him a little bit, sure. But Gerrit Cole, Smoltz said that, and I heard a caller called Boomer and Gio, and they both kind of said, oh, come on, he's tired. What are you talking about? But I do think there was a mental fatigue there. Now, it's not acceptable. It shouldn't happen. But all the work that it took Cole mentally to get through that inning, human nature to let down a little bit when you finally get that grounder by Betts.
Now,
he shouldn't have, and it was a bad mistake.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that he was mentally fatigued, being so locked in, striking out the guys, getting Betts to ground out, and he kind of just let down for a second. And because of the way the ball was squibbed and because of the way Rizzo handled it, it was a screw-up. But I do think it was a mental fatigue thing with Cole. As for Rizzo, I think he was just trying to make a play, and he just can't move. Like, he can't run anymore.
I think that a lot of fans, I tend to agree with you on that, with the mental. It's almost like, all right, I got a little mental respite here. I've been grinding for 22 minutes, you know, digging, trying to pick up my boy Judge in center, trying to pick up the young Buck Volpe over at shortstop, digging. Like, with the pitch clock, and nobody wants to hear about this now or cares, but he looked, his face was so flushed, you would have thought that it was July. Like, and I mean, I know it was unseasonably warm last night, I get that, but I mean, it wasn't 85 degrees. I mean, 59, probably 61, whatever it was. He looked physically shot, and when you deliver that, and I understand that why, when you deliver that pitch and you see a foot, now, he didn't know the mile per hour, but it wound up being 49 mile per hour exit velocity, and it's Mookie Betts, who's amazing. You're like, oh, I got through this, even if it's for a second, and you let down your mental guard, your focus, and you relax. And again, nobody wants to hear it. His explanation was, I thought I was going to make a play for it, where the angle of the ball, once I took that angle, which obviously was the wrong one, I basically didn't think that I could get back, and I thought Rizzo also had it at that point. So it's just a confluence of meltdowns here. But listen, I know that some of the things were wacky. Like Aaron Judge, that will never happen to Aaron Judge the rest of his career. Understood. But they have been sloppy on the bags and with the leather all year and last year and lazy and the year before. So it's not an anomaly. This is Aaron Boone's team. It is what it is, man.
Also, though,
they don't play buttoned up under him.
Oh, right. Also, the reality is, and maybe this makes people feel better, maybe it doesn't, they weren't coming back and winning the series anyway. So last night, as much as that hurt,
I don't know that, Sal. I would have been nice to sit down Friday night and have a chance to figure out if you're right. Because you might be right. Well, but you can't say that. They may have hit Yamamoto.
The reality is, you're down 0-3. There's a reason why nobody's ever forced in a World Series of Game 6. There's a reason why it's only happened once before with the Yankees blowing it in 0-4. Like, it wasn't going to happen. And that's why I go back to game one. Those little miscues that they made in game one really cost them, whether it's a bad decision, whether it's Gleyber Torres, Dodgers taking it. Like, that to me was the game to get.
Here's what I was thinking, you know, as we laid out, you know, going through all the missteps here. I got to take you to a different part of my emotional state that game. I was, because you bring up game six. So when they're up 5-0, I want blood. I want 13-1. I want Braves Yankees game one of the World Series in 96 when Andrew Jones went bonkers and Pettit got smoked. I want one of those Diamondback scores. I want the Yankee Red Sox game, you know, before the Yankees collapsed up. I want to destroy them, because I thought that they were, now, of course, you got to win, but I'm thinking, all right, now Yankee bats got juiced in game four, now in game five. Now Judge is joining the party. I actually thought, even with the myriad of meltdowns, I still thought they were going to find a way to win the game. But I was less satisfied with that. I would take the result, of course, and I'd roll the dice. But I thought that they could have held on and won 9-1, whatever it may have been, you know, 8-0, 10-2. Going into game six, now you've got back-to-back games where the Dodgers were mentally shot and they were out of sorts. Now, even if they would have won last night and they would have won 7-6 or 8-7, enough Dodgers, I thought, were resuscitated.
Yeah.
And even if they would have lost going to game six, I think that, yes, I think that there's a much better chance they lose than win. But if they waxed them last night and it's 10-1, they got a shot in game six.
Chief is calling from Cherry Hill. What's up, Chief?
I'm doing wonderful today. How are you guys?
Great. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
I'll say it like this. You know, until now, we're talking about the first five innings and the meltdown. To me, something that's even greater than all these mental errors and actual errors is what happened the rest of the game. In the last five innings, the Yankees had 10 runners on base and couldn't score. Their inability, they hit 180 in the ALDS and ALCS with runners in scoring position, was abysmal. But going 1-for-12 last night, in my opinion, that's the microcosm of the season. They could never get those big hits when I'm at. How many times do we see the Yankees, the ability to have a 4 or 5 run inning this season and not do it? And that's what happened last night. The inability, the amount of times with runners in first and second with one man out, It's incredible how frustrating. How many times do we talk about the season? Yeah. Bases loaded, no outs.
Let me throw something at you, though, Chief. And it's an astute observation. By the way, it's something that Sal and I were talking about. Like, they, even though they won game four, there was a situation, first and second, nobody out. And I was thinking about that as we're going through the sequence last night because we had the conversation. That's why I thought that I never thought that these Yankees were special. But I did think that they were, you know, special specific to their history. But I thought that they were different enough than, say, the 2022 team and other iterations that just didn't perform in the clutch at all. Like, the Yankees' OPS against the Guardians in 2022 and the Astros was like 560. Like, they set records for futility, strikeouts. I mean, you name a bad stat, the Yankees pretty much owned it in 2022. I thought it was a lot of it was because of Soto and then the residual impact downstream with the roster, better pitch selection, better at-bats. But at the end of the day, no, they're not very different because they kicked it around, they ran like ass, and they just didn't get the big hit again. And I thought they were a little different with that.
I agree. We focus on the fifth inning. It was much more than that. And Trinan was tremendous, give him credit, but that guy was on fumes. Dodgers had no pitching, and the Yankees could. I mean, they're how many pitchers Dave Roberts got to use here to try to get through this game? Barely hanging on, and the Yankees just could not put him away, whether it was Stanton or Volpe not being able to get a big hit. Yankees had opportunities, and it was a microcosm of their season. And look, even Cole had some punchies last night going for him, where he was able to get six. I mean, you swing and miss stuff. He had that nasty stuff, but even with all those punches, Yanks weren't able to get the job done. All right, you know, I did think of it, though, last night. It's so abrupt, right? There's never an easy way to end. But last year, neither team in town made the postseason, so you kind of knew the end was coming at the end of the regular season. This year, it has been an incredible ride from both New York baseball teams. And I loved every second of it going home, watching these games. But when it ends like this, it's abrupt and it's just like, oh, man. Like, they both gave us great runs. Give the Mets and Yankees credit. This has been a very good New York baseball season. Unfortunately, neither team got the result ultimately that they wanted.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been a good run. It just sucks to lose like that.
It does. It does. You really can't prepare yourself for that. You know, it's funny. Part of me already last night, very quickly, not that I want to get into this aspect of New York sports, but I almost like have already transitioned in my mind, not for work, to the Knicks and St. John's, to basketball. Right. Like, I already...
Just because you don't want to endure the pain?
You know, it's on to the next one.
Did you watch the post-game stuff? Forget about for work purposes. Like, did you watch...
Oh, I watched every post. I even go back to the Mets. Yes, I go back to yes. Okay. Actually, Jeter's been better on TV. Remember I said that? That he was very vanilla. But I that was my fear, and I didn't think he was very good when he first started. He's gotten better. You know, A-Rod's still not really sure who he is for some crazier A-Rod. Come on, I stopped deferring to the captain, which he always does, which bothers me. Poppy's half a clown, but I get it. And Burkhardt's very good. So I do enjoy their coverage, but no, I'm going to yes. I want Curry. I want Flaherty. I want Boone's post-game press, or I want here for the big pieces. I go to yes, and I do the same with the Mets after every game. Mendoza, SNY, Gary, and those guys.
I do it. It's hard to believe the baseball season is, in fact, over.
It's over.
I know. We loved it. It was a great run.
It was. Yeah, what do you got next year?
Nothing.
Honestly, it was. Yeah. I mean, great. I try to reserve that for actually accomplishing the thing that Yankee fans expect to accomplish or hope to accomplish, and that's winning the World Series, not merely getting there. But when I juggle the New York, what we've had for the past month, you know. I mean, think about this, Sal. One of the things when you and I, right before we started working, one of the interviews that I did with Barrett Sports Media, I said, hey, listen, FAN's had legends and Hall of Famers and Mike and Chris and everybody in between. I miss you know all the names. I said, WFN's never had a Yankee fan like in terms of devout nuttiness like me and a Met fan in terms of devout nuttiness like you together on the same show.
Right.
So for us to be able to do this and to ride the wave of emotion and the ups and the downs and the expectations and the hopes and waiting and the late nights and just doing this with the best fans in the world and the best station in the world, WFAN, it was special. Yeah, honestly, I don't undersell that. It was fun.
Well, for both, right? Because it's rare that you have. Usually the Yankees are carrying the weight here in this town, and maybe that's going to change now where the Mets could actually try to build a sustained, successful franchise moving forward. But until they do, it's been the Yankees carrying the bulk of the success in the postseason in this town. But this year you had both. I mean, for what? The first time in almost 20 years, whatever it was, in the postseason and winning games and playing games on the same day.
Yeah.
It was back a fun
ride. Back-to-back, different times. Insane.
And like you said, there's just never a good way to end it unless you're the last team standing, and that can't be the case for both. Yankees got closer, although the Mets did force a game six and get it back to L.A. But, I mean, you
Hang that in the trophy case.
Yankees got to the – and we should build a – right, I don't know if they're going to have a Yankeeography or a Monument Park for winning a game in the World Series, but almost winning another.
I can give you the answer. It's no. Okay. We don't operate that way. You know the answer there.
Some Met fans, you know me, I didn't want any part of that. Some Met fans wanted the parade for their season. Yeah. I don't accept
Gather
that.
Gather around, folks.
It did seem like Yankee fans were happy to avoid getting swept, which is a good thing.
There was some pride there. Honestly, like I know you're having fun and I get it, but that meant something to us.
Right.
Now, again, you would have loved to at least get back to L.A. and if they're going to lose and force a historically daunting task, at least do it 3,000 miles away. And that didn't happen. What's bothering me the most now is that, and I said this very early in the show, teams are getting very comfortable celebrating their accomplishments on our turf.
So let me ask you this way. Either way, it was going to be celebrating on your turf. Oh, like obviously, if you get to game six, no, but I'm talking about...
They're up 5-0. All right, we're going back to L.A.
But in my scenario here, would you rather have gotten swept or have the loss that you had last night?
I'd rather have the loss that I had last night. I really would.
I know why you would answer that, but I don't think it's an easy question.
It's like, not.
If you got swept, it would have been, hey, it sucks to get swept, but last night, the thing that hurts is that at 5-0, you really believed that not only was it going to game six, you really started to believe that the Yankees had it. You said it yourself, and I don't think you were alone, that the Yankees had a chance to win this series and to have that taken from you in that fashion with that embarrassing inning and then to lose anyway and have them celebrate on your home turf anyway. You could make a case where, you know what, maybe they should have just gotten swept.
Yeah, I think some people might say that. You know, really what I was saying was, hey, listen, I think that there's a chance after game four, there's a chance this thing gets back to L.A. I remember specifically saying, hey, I don't expect them to win four straight. As much as I'm hoping for them to do it, I don't expect that. That's too tall of a task. I mean, you don't rule out hope, but it didn't seem practical. Yeah, I mean, Sal, I'm at the point in my life, and this will not be satisfactory for a lot of people who are just trudging through the day, and I get it. Trust me, I get it. But if the Yankees got swept, all right, I'm just talking from, because you're talking about, you asked me the question.
Yes.
If the Yankees would have gotten swept, I don't have an all-time night the previous night with my son at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
And that's how I look at things at
Great
this point,
point
in my life.
And you're also not alone, because even if fans didn't go to the game, you're watching at home and enjoying a
Absolutely.
Win with your family or your kids, and you get that. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, BT and Sal on the field. We'll come back on the other side. 888-808-1019. Let you vent about a disastrous Yankee loss in the baseball season coming to an end. We got to get to Juan Soto. We'll talk a little bit more about Aaron Judge in depth and his legacy. And I know, BT, you have something to say about the skipper of the Yankees.
Got a lot to say. It's coming up next.
We'll do that when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.